today on Real Radio.
Do you remember that old saying, no, I'm going to pray for patience. Oh, no, don't pray for patience. No, go ahead and pray for patience. No, because listen, it's worth it. And God will never put you through something you can't handle with him. He'll take you all the way through. Hang on to him. He's hanging on to you. I guarantee you that. He's hanging on to you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God Knows, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, God gave the prophet Isaiah an awesome responsibility. He was not only to magnify the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, but also to point us toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One. And some of Isaiah's prophecies extend far into the future, when deliverance will finally come to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. In Isaiah chapter 47, we were reminded of how God's great power will intervene on Israel's behalf. If foreign leaders decide to attack Israel, it's not going to go well for them. But the Lord promises to bless those nations who bless Israel and support its borders. The nations who practice false worship systems, however, are evil in God's sight. Enchantments, spells, palm reading, or the practice of sorcery, astrology, and witchcraft will not profit you. So today on day 3 of chapter 48, Pastor Jack tells us that God knows the future. He was there from the beginning, and he will be there in the end. His hand laid the foundation of the earth. His right hand stretched out the heavens. Who but the Lord could do this? And now continuing his lesson called God Knows, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
For the first time in 2 years with my insomnia, I feel like I'm starting to feel planet Earth again a little bit. There's no explanation for it except you're praying. You guys are praying. I'm feeling physically better. I'm feeling mentally better. For so long, for months on end, I felt like in a complete daze. I would touch things and I couldn't actually feel what I was touching. I didn't know if I said something 2 minutes ago, if I had said it before. It was so, when you, with sleeplessness, it's so mean. It's so cruel to not be able to sleep. And yet, I something's happening. And let me tell you, I'm at this point right now where it is this. God, I don't understand it. Nobody understands it. There's no answer for this. Look, if I was sleeping around doing drugs, porn, I could see God judging me. I checked all the bases 2 years ago and all the way through. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. Okay? Here's the deal. What's the deal? Lord, I've given up looking for an answer. Here's the thing. God made it so clear to my heart. I'm doing something. I'm refining you. And you know what? That's okay with me. And I'm at this point right now tonight. Lord, thank you for the last 2 years. I wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't change a thing. And I want to encourage you. You might be at that point. Listen, this is too much information for you guys. 3 times I wrote a letter of resignation as a pastor from this church because I couldn't physically function anymore. It was time for me, I believe, to get out of the way. Every time I did that, there was this bizarre time with God where he encouraged me. So listen, I want to tell you, you may be here tonight and you're saying, you know what, that's it, I'm done. I'm done with my life, or I'm done with this relationship, or I'm done with this business, or I'm done with this whatever. And you say, that's it, I can't. Hey, are you a believer? Yes, God is refining you. He is making someone out of you that nobody else can take your place and nobody else can do it for you. You say, Jack, is there an app for that? Can't I get the app? No, there's no app. Well, can I pay somebody to do it? Ain't gonna happen. It's inside of you forever. It's what God is doing. And I don't know how this is going to work. I just know it's true that somehow in eternity, the stuff you're going through, it actually matters in forever land. It's going to matter. I don't know why and how, but what you go through now is going to translate into that heavenly economy, and it is going to be a great, great blessing. Thank God. You know what? If we really understood the goodness of God, I know this sounds kind of sadistic, but if we really understood the goodness of God, we'd say, Lord, bring more difficulty. Do you remember that old saying, no, I'm going to pray for patience. Oh, no, don't pray for patience. No, go ahead and pray for patience. No, because listen, it's worth it. And God will never put you through something you can't handle with him. He'll take you all the way through. Hang on to him. He's hanging on to you. I guarantee you that. He's hanging on to you. So the fourth thing is this, verses 12 to 15, is that God knows what the future holds. He says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. And I'm wondering if you're here on Sunday, if you recognize this. I am he, I am the first, and I'm also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. Isn't that awesome talk? When I call to them, they stand up together. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear whom among them has declared these things. Verses 12, 13, and 14, circle them, please, in your Bible, because this is truly awesome, and I'll tell you the reason why. First of all, Jerome, the great Christian scholar, theologian, in 380 AD, 380 AD, wrote this. It is clear that the one speaking here in Isaiah 48, they didn't have an Isaiah 48. There were no numbers back then, but Jerome had just studied this verse, but there were no verses in those days. It was just one gigantic Bible. He says, it is clear that the one speaking is the pre-incarnate Christ himself, for it is confirmed to us in those words, I am the first and the last, but none but Christ could say such things, says Jerome. That is an awesome statement. Look at your Bible. All of a sudden, scholars for 2,000 years have been looking at those verses, those three verses on your lap, and this is what they argue. They argue this. Who is the one speaking in these verses? Who's the one talking? We know God when he speaks. We get that. But this one says, I'm the first and the last. Guess what, church? Were you here on Sunday? You know who that is. You know who that is. Look, I'll prove it to you again. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation 1:10. So who is this in Isaiah? Revelation 1:10. I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Verse 11, we did this on Sunday. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Let's skip down to verse 17. When I, John, saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Dead. Tell me about a God in the Bible who writes from Genesis to Revelation, who is eternal, who's the creator, who is spirit, who becomes a human, born in Bethlehem, who God eternal relegates himself to dying. Well, it goes on. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Tell me about a God who was resurrected, who fits the description in the Bible. One only. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And what's awesome, church, mark it down. Isaiah 48, 12 to 14. It's none other than Jesus Christ in what is called a pre-incarnation speaking. Look what it says again. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first and I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. This is none other than the Creator Christ. I thought you guys would be excited about that. That's who Jesus is. Awesome. Verse 13, look, I don't need to spend much time in this. I don't have much time. It's too bad. You see verse 13? See where he says, they stand up together, creation? That's what it means. Creation stands up together. This is going to upset some of you. It's just too bad. It's what the Bible says. The word stand up together in Hebrew, it means to arise suddenly, in an instant. Come together in an instant. There's no other way around it. The Bible says that whoever the Alpha and the Omega is, he spoke, he stretched out the heavens and creation, and they stood up together. What does that mean? You see, what are you saying? It means that when he said it, it happened. You say, well, who cares? Everybody knows that. Well, not everybody knows that. First of all, Psalm 33, verse 6 tells us that by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. That's exactly right on with Isaiah 48 here that we're looking at. See, so what's the thing? Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 3. God said, let there be light. What does the Bible say? And there was what? Light. In an instant. God said it, it was done. In fact, Genesis 1, 6 in the Hebrew language, your English Bible says, and God said, let there be a firmament. But listen, in Hebrew, it says, then God said, firmament. I love that. God said, light, boom, light. God said, firmament, boom, firmament. God said, and it happens. You see, what are you getting at? This passage, this argument rules out, listen, a lot of Christians are holding to what I'm about to say. This rules out theistic evolution. Well, I believe in God and I believe in evolution. I believe that God created evolution. Impossible from the Bible, impossible. God spoke it and it was right there, boom. Now here's the cool part. You say, oh, well, I don't know if that can happen. Well, you need to get a bigger God. Your God's too small. Besides, you know what, who cares? Who cares if he creates the entire universe? That ain't the hard work. I've come to realize that the hard work is changing a human heart and mind. How does that happen? Not evolution. In an instant, you realize, I'm gonna make that decision. I'm gonna give my life to Christ. I think that's more powerful than creating the universe. I think it's awesome. What time is it? I mean, no, there's just no way. Let's just finish verse 15 then, and I'll just go home defeated and depressed. Verse 14 says, the Lord loves him. He's talking about Cyrus. It's okay, but listen, this gets awesome. The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon. It means Cyrus is going to defeat Babylon in the future. And his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him, that is Cyrus. I have brought him, and his way will prosper. It's absolutely amazing. God is talking about Cyrus and Babylon. Babylon is a village. Cyrus, at the time of this prophecy, Cyrus is still 100+ years away from being born. God calls the man's ministry or the man's exploits under the pages of the Bible. We'll end with this tonight, but I want to encourage you with something. It's in my notes this evening. It's cryptic because it involves someone, but I'll say it tonight and next week as well if need be. It goes to what I said earlier tonight, that God will not give up. God will not give up. As Judah was rebellious against God and the northern kingdoms as well, God never gave up on them. And Jesus says in the scripture, if you come to me, I will in no wise turn you away. Throughout the Bible, friends, listen, throughout the Bible, Jesus speaks in the parables and he says, regarding the woman, for example, who lost the coin. She scoured her entire home until she found the coin and were to rejoice about that. He says that a man had 100 sheep and he had the 99 with him and one of the lambs ran away. And the shepherd looked at the 99, but on his heart was the one that was gone. Think about that for a moment. You know this is true. The 99 are safe. You might have, hey, you can have 3 kids right now. 3. That's 3. You can have 10 kids. And if one of the 3 is missing, you're sick. But what if you have 10 kids? It doesn't, listen, as beautiful as the 9 kids are, they don't make up for the one. And Jesus tells us there's a man who had a son, and that prodigal son ran away, and that father was sick. If you've ever loved a child, or maybe it's a husband or a wife, and they've run out on you, and you're sick, you can't eat, you're destroyed. And all that sickness and that disgusting pit in your stomach, I want you to know something. Apparently, God feels that a million times more. If you're wayward from Jesus tonight, you once went into the house of the Lord, as it were, to worship. You once read your Bible. You once went after God like a lover. You pursued him in the wilderness, he said. You went after me like a man would pursue a young virgin. You pursued me, and then you gave up on me. Something came into your life, you ran out on me. Instead of God killing you, he left you alone. I would have killed you. Not God. And he waits. This week I was talking to a mom and a dad. And their daughter, like a little lamb, they brought her into the world. They tucked her into bed, changed her diapers, fed her, stood up, went up through the night, right, walking, burping, all the stuff, sickness, teaching her how to read, how to walk, how to dress, teaching her about God, praying over her, giving her a Christian life, walking with Jesus, serving the Lord. And then you know what happens? They don't stay 5 and 6 years old all the time. You know, they don't stay that age. Then they have a tendency to grow up. And then there's that very dangerous time zone. Somewhere between, I don't know, 13 to 25, where they start getting these feelings and stuff. They know what they know. They were raised in the Lord. Only for mom and dad to come home to find out that young daughter was packing up to sneak out of the house to run away with a man. Oh, but it's okay. He loves me. Not a believer. And their parents' hearts are broken. And just like, listen, earthly parents, they're asking, Pastor Jack, well, what do we do? How do we honor Christ? Because our love for our daughter right now, we want to just abandon everything that we know is right and just go grab onto her and hold her and pull her back and blindfold her if need be, cuff her, put her in a room until she comes to her senses, which is what Mark Twain said. Mark Twain said, when you have a teenager, when they reach 13, put your teenager in a 55-gallon barrel with a hole in it and feed them through the hole. And then Mark Twain said, when they reach 21, seal the hole up. But I talked and prayed with mom and dad, and they're just sick. They're sick to their stomach. And listen, you know, this happens with young people. It's just like Judah. It's idols. If you have a young child in your life and all of a sudden they met somebody and they've gotten really dumb real fast. And then everything about Jesus goes out the window. Most often, almost always, I'm going to say 99%, if not more, the moment sexual activity enters that young relationship, it blinds them. It blinds them. The emotions go into an off-the-chart level, and everything stable, everything God goes out the window. It's idolatry. It's transgression. That may not be your story tonight, but you may have a story. And God is saying to that young girl, and God is saying to you tonight, perhaps God is saying, you know what? I've deferred my anger. I wanted to slap you silly, but I slapped my son instead at the cross with your sin. And I'm asking you to consider that and make your way back to Jesus. Friends, look around. The world cannot continue much longer without something really big happening. I don't know what it is, but something big's happening. It's gonna happen. This is like, the world is at a fever, has a fever, and it's either gonna burst or something's gonna happen. And you need to make sure you're right with Jesus. Could you imagine? Can you imagine if Jesus decided to come back tonight for the church? He could, you know. Where would you be? Are you even a believer? Are you just say? Do you just call upon God? Do you just make an oath and you hold a Bible and you don't do that? Father, we ask God tonight that you would convict us all of any error in our ways, Lord. especially those areas, Lord, where we have justifiable hurts, meaning someone has really legitimately hurt us, and somebody has really factually robbed us, or somebody has really maligned us, and we would be right to retaliate. We get that, but you're saying, no, even in that, I want that poison out of your heart. Every time you hear that man's name, or every time you hear that woman's name, or you see that color, or you hear about that company, your neck gets stiff. You start grinding your teeth. And God is saying to you tonight, I want to set you free from that bondage. He wants to set you free. God wants to refine you. I want to give you a word of advice, dear friend, in this prayer. Let him. Let him have his way with you. Don't hold out. Tonight, right where you're at, you tell God what's on your heart. You tell him, Lord, this message is speaking to me, and I know that's you. I'm asking you, God, to x-ray my heart, remove the poisons that's in my soul. I've got vengeance, or I've got regret, I've got anger. I've got my opinion. Take them all away, God. I surrender tonight to you. Maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening or watching right now, and you need to make your way back to Jesus. Stop going to church because somebody hurt your feelings, or you cut that person out of your life because they made you feel bad. Have you noticed it's been eating on you ever since? It's because you've been away from God. You let something get in. Maybe you're held captive by some sexual experience, or maybe it's money, and you just can't get away from the money. Just a few more dollars, a couple more $1,000, and I'll be able to seal it up, and I'll get back to God then. Dear friend, tonight you know who you are, and you know what you need to do, and I ask you to make that change right now with God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again from the grave, not to have you live this kind of life, but that you may be free. And if you have the Son, Jesus, you will be free.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Knows, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. And as awesome and powerful as God is, and as the one who knows all things, he wants you to know him. God Knows, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before Jesus was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has some podcasts available at the website? They're called Real Life Talk. And all you got to do to watch is go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the media icon. Once you're there, simply go to Real Life Talk Podcasts with Jack Hibbs, or you can join him wherever you get your podcasts and search for Real Life Talk. Pastor Jack has a lot to say on important topics that are real, sometimes raw, but very relevant in today's culture. Subjects like gun violence, abortion, and the sex education crisis in California. And don't forget, Pastor Jack's also on Facebook, Real Life TV, as well as Instagram and YouTube. It's all right there when you connect with us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also help support this ministry by donating on the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app, or just go to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.